Just first, to explain The Miz, that's a play on words on your surname.
Yeah, Mizanin is my last name. I actually came up with the Miz character on a reality show that I was on called The Real World, which is widely popular in America. Basically, I was an outcast on the show. Nobody liked me. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to tell it like it is. I'm going to tell people exactly what I think about them. And I'm going to call the character The Miz. So basically, you can't get mad at Mike. It was The Miz. So that's where The Miz kind of started. And that was like 11 years ago.
And this kind of illustrates, doesn't it, the very different path that you took towards getting to the top of WWE. It wasn't kind of like, although you did do some of the smaller promotions, it wasn't a case of working your way up through promotions over a decade or whatever. You were on TV.
Yeah, I was kind of different. I guess you can say I was different just because some people, like, back then used to go to independent leagues, which I did as well. When I was doing these reality shows, I was on TV doing The Real World, and then I did the sister show, The Real World Road Rules Challenge, and I was doing those. And while I was doing those shows, I was creating more and more of The Miz character, basically saying I want to be a WWE superstar. But not only was I doing that, I was also on the independents, Ultimate Pro Wrestling, which was in Los Angeles, and I was trying to make it not only through TV, but through gaining respect through everyone else, because I actually trying to pay my dues on the independents. And that's kind of how it all kind of began. And it surplused to getting a call from a guy named Ty Bailey saying, do you want to do Tough Enough? And I tried out actually for Tough Enough, the season two of it. And they told me I wasn't allowed because I was already on MTV. And they can't have another me on MTV, so I didn't think I could try out anymore. But then they told me I could try out, so then I tried out for the $1 Million Tough Enough, which was on the CW network, and made it onto the show, didn't win, and ended up impressing the WWE execs so much with my passion that I wanted to be a WWE superstar that they gave me a developmental contract to go to Deep South Wrestling in Atlanta, getting trained by Bill DeMott. And then after 6 months of that, I moved to OVW, which was in Louisville, Kentucky, and got trained by Al Snow. And then once after 6 months of that, they told me, all right, we're going to bring you up. They made me took me to Stamford, Connecticut, where the WWE headquarters was. I did a bunch of like vignettes, like little videos, basically telling people who I was and what The Miz was going to be in the WWE. It didn't really go over that well with the crowd. So they kind of sent me back down developmental for like a month, and then they gave me another call and said, we want you to be the Ryan Seacrest of the WWE. And I don't know if the UK knows who Ryan Seacrest is, but he's the host of The American Idol. So they wanted me to be the host of Friday Night SmackDown. So went there and became the host, did it the best I possibly could. I just wanted to make them believe that if they gave me the microphone, I knew I could become the character I wanted to be in the WWE. And that's kind of essentially what happened. And it kind of escalated to where I was the Diva Search host. And then they said, we want to put you in the ring now. And then I was laughed at. I was told I wasn't going to be anything. People wanted me to be fired, whether it was in the locker room or out in the audience. Nobody liked me. I was the outcast once again. Basically, which I'm used to. It's fine. Not a problem. So I just worked hard and just kept working at it and perfecting my craft. And then little by little, I think I started gaining respect by people. And finally, last year, I main evented WrestleMania 27 and retained my WWE championship not once but twice. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of a cool story. I enjoy saying it, talking about it.
I mean, would it be fair to say that although you always kind of had the charisma and you always had the kind of the gift of the gab, we would call it here, but that the in-ring kind of acumen sort of took a lot longer to kind of wrap it all together, if you like, and then at that point, it was quite a rapid ascension from being the opening match guy to being the WrestleMania headline.
Yeah, it's funny. With people coming into the WWE, people expect them to right away just be amazing and great, but being in the WWE is way different than, you know, being in developmental at OVW or being on the independents at UPW. I mean, it takes a long time to develop that talent of being able to be on camera in front of tens of thousands of people to perform at a level that WWE creates. And it takes a long time. And it took me, I would say, 4 years of being in the WWE to really, really gain confidence in myself, in my ability to wrestle at the level of a WWE superstar. But once I got to that level of wrestling, and even to this day, I still believe that I have a lot to learn, and I'm always learning and always trying to be better than the next guy, because they're trying to take your spot. They're trying to be that main event caliber person. So, and I know they're coming up behind me, so I have to make sure that I maintain and become the superstar that I want to become. So it's just, it's a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication, and it's nonstop.
You're here in the UK because we're talking ahead of the best time of the year to be a wrestling fan, I suppose, because we've got the Royal Rumble coming up. 2 or 3 months after that, we get to WrestleMania, which is the big show of the year. That's when we get 60 or 70,000 people in an arena and stuff like that. Before we talk about the Rumble, you mentioned there about WrestleMania last year. Now, I was actually there. I was in Atlanta. Talk about kind of that whole experience, because I know how amazing it was that whole few days as a fan. But to be right at the top of that show, to be the guy who was on all the posters and stuff like that, and even on the beakers that I took home with me, that type of thing. How incredible is it being a fan of, you know, so many years to then be the guy right at the top of this thing?
I was a huge fan of WWE even back in the 80s. Like, I loved Ultimate Warrior and the Rockers and Demolition and Legion of Doom. I was a huge fan of Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant. So growing up, watching those people like main event WrestleMania and just be those stars that I wanted to be, then even going into the Attitude Era with The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin and D-Generation X, then to where I'm going to be main eventing WrestleMania? Are you kidding me? This is like a childhood dream for me. I mean, that's what I've always dreamed of being. Like, I mean, as a little kid, you never imagined that you could do something because you're always told that you can't. I mean, when I wanted to be on The Real World, everyone told me, you'll never make it on the show. What's going to stand you out from 60,000 people trying out? And I said, I don't know, but I'm still going to try out. Then going into WWE, where everyone hated me, couldn't stand me. You wanted me to get fired within 3 months of being in the WWE. And then just believing in myself, knowing that I could do it. And then main eventing WrestleMania 27, it was surreal. And then just the week leading up to it was incredible. I'm doing all this media. There's The Rock, who literally I looked at as like the person that I wanted to be when I was watching in the Attitude Era. I always wanted to know what he was going to say next. So I kind of took stuff from him, stuff from Jericho, stuff from all these superstars that I watched growing up, and tried to make it into my own character, where I bring my originality as well as looking at things that worked for them. Hopefully it'll work for me. And so then having him be involved with my match, having John Cena, the person that was basically the face of the WWE, me going in as the WWE champion and going into WrestleMania 27, I'll never forget going out and standing there on the stage looking at 70,000 people sold out at the Georgia Dome, me in the main event, walking down that aisle, getting into that ring, then seeing John Cena's little choir that had going on doing his song. And while that choir was going on, everyone was paying attention to that. But what I was doing was I was looking at my 7 best friends from high school that were in my living room watching the Attitude Era each and every Sunday, because back then there was ECW, WCW, and WWE, and there's always a pay-per-view on every weekend, and that everyone would go over my house and be in my living room watching it. And so all those 7 people were all in the front row, and I literally looked at them with the WWE championship, and I said, we made it. We did it. And it was just an incredible, incredible moment. And it's something that even words couldn't express. Like, I get goosebumps just talking about it right now.
And theoretically, this could happen again this year, because what we're talking about here, Sky Box Office Sunday night, the Royal Rumble. The winner of the Royal Rumble gets a championship shot at WrestleMania. It's a very unique match, isn't it? It happens once a year, and it potentially could see up to 30 guys in the ring at the same time. How difficult of a match is that to be a part of?
The Royal Rumble is probably one of the most difficult matches that we have, because there are so many WWE superstars involved in it. There's 30 superstars. And not only that, but this year I've kind of gotten drew the unlucky straw, if you will, and John Laurinaitis basically said that last Monday night that if I lost a match against R-Truth, that I would be the number one entrant in the Royal Rumble, which is the worst thing you possibly do. And usually number one is great. It's fantastic. You always want to be number one in everything, but not in the Royal Rumble, because that means you're the first participant and you have to go through 29 other guys to win the Royal Rumble. However, the way I look at it is like this. Since I am the number one entrant, I'm not only going to break the record of Rey Mysterio being the longest lasting person in a Royal Rumble with 62 minutes. I'm going to break that record. I'm also going to toss over 29 superstars. I'm going to be the person that tossed over the most, and I tossed them all over to go on to headline WrestleMania for the second year in a row, either going for the WWE Championship or the World Heavyweight Championship. Either way, I will be headlining WrestleMania, and I will be talked about, because that's just the dedication that I have in this sport, and it's one of those things that I look forward to. And it's funny, look where I am right now. I am in London, England, and literally WrestleMania or Royal Rumble is, what, 3 days away? And I have to, I've been in Abu Dhabi. I was in Abu Dhabi for the past 2 days, come here for 2 days. Then I'm going to fly back. I get back Saturday night, and then Sunday I'm going to be the first entrant in the Royal Rumble. So someone wants me to be jet lagged. But the fact is, I don't stop. I keep going. And I'm like a machine. And you have to go through me if you want to headline WrestleMania, because I'm stopping at nothing.
And a final one. It's been a really big week this week for wrestlers in and around the UK.
It's huge.
Hulk Hogan is here. Admittedly, you know, a WWE legend. He's now no longer part of the company. He's part of another company. He had some very complimentary words to say about you, saying, you know, that you're a real stand-up guy, a stand-up performer. You've worked really hard at your craft and stuff like that. That is basically the biggest name possibly in the history of the industry talking really well about you. That's got to be sort of quite pleasing to you.
Yeah. Duh. I mean, it's incredible. Growing up, you talked about Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. And I mean, my biggest memory as a kid growing up, and my biggest memory even to this day of WrestleManias, besides the WrestleMania that I was actually in, was Hulk Hogan picking up Andre the Giant and body slamming him. I mean, that was just incredible to everyone. And it's still talked about to this day. And to have a living legend like Hulk Hogan say something great about you, it's breathtaking. I don't even know what to even say. It's just, you know, I've always looked up to him. I've always been a huge fan of him. And I mean, I used to eat my vitamins because Hulk Hogan told me to, you know, and I'll never forget the first time I actually met Hulk Hogan. It was backstage, and it was before I was even up here in the WWE. And I went up to him, and he said, "Hey, you're the guy from the Real World, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "Tell me about this." And so I told him about all the reality show that I was on, because lo and behold, he was getting ready to do Hogan's Knows Best. And so he wanted to know the ins and outs of reality stuff. So there I am telling Hulk Hogan, giving him advice about reality shows. And this is Hulk Hogan, man. This is the Hulkster. This is like the guy that I grew up idolizing, you know, because it's just incredible to me. And then to have him say these kind words to me about me being a main eventer and being someone that is taking the new breed of WWE and taking it to a new level, it's just incredible. And it just goes to show what kind of guy he is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Always remember, I am awesome.